Sunday.
Are there any announcements? Any announcements?
Okay, well, that's just a couple of short verses from John. Well, then said Jesus unto them, yet for a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness, know not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. At this time, we have our prayer, please. Is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul that seeks him, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of our Lord. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the showers of blessings you've allowed us to have. We thank you for your loving kindness that's better than life, and is your grace is sufficient, Father. We thank you for what you're about to do in this place and in the lives of each one of your people. We just thank you, Father, for your presence, and may you be glorified in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn to 278 for Tim.
We stand for Abel.
My hands, though.
not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. There will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. They are called to stewardship. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of our Lord. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to give back to you, Lord, a portion that you give to us. Help us to be good stewards, not just of the finances, Lord, but of the time that you've allowed us to be here, to be with family and friends, Lord, to share the gospel truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the Savior of all. We thank you, Father, for your many blessings and for your showers of blessings, Lord. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Robin, we have another hymn. 358.
Let's turn to 358, please.
Stable condition, but managing well, and we just need to lift her up to you in our prayers to give her constant care and ability to be able to manage her life.
I also have one here for Ralph and Debbie and the Bob and Linda.
Ralph and Debbie, they went down to see their son in Virginia. He re- recently moved from Tennessee up into Virginia, which makes it a lot closer for them to visit. And so they were in the care of Brian and Lynn, which are relatives. And so they took them down, and they're bringing them back. And we just pray that they had a wonderful time down there together.
I heard just this weekend that President is possibly under attack from foreign people. So whether we like what he does or not, he's still our president. And what if we pray for our leaders? And also our government and our youth on the street, their families, their marriages, the salvation, finances for the church, for Pastor Bob and his family. How's Sister Karen doing?
She's in a lot of pain, and she's waiting for her surgery date, which probably will be the end of August.
And Baker family. Did you have something, Sister Bay?
Yes, just keep the Baker family on your prayer list, and also the Traveling Mercies. Some of them are coming in for the birthday to celebrate Debbie's grandson.
Mm-hmm. So
they all need prayer, right, Ricky?
Yeah.
And I'd like to keep Mrs. Case on the prayer list. She's in over at
York Hospital.
What's
yes.
her first name?
Pam Case. She's had surgery yesterday, but she's been over there for 7 days and been bleeding, and they can't get the bleeding stopped, and that's why she's so weak they couldn't do anything for her. So she finally had surgery yesterday, but they found more bleeding. So, and then on top of that, she has blood clots. So we need prayers for her.
Yes, Paul.
Brad, on Frank's condition, I'm sure that if you give him a phone call, he would really feel good about somebody coming over to visit him while he's said in these laid-back times, if you want to call that.
So, round the golf is how's the question? But it's tough to be happy when you're not feeling good. Any other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Let's keep Doris and Dick on the prayer list. They're both dealing with medical issues. I heard this week that a friend of mine from high school got bit by a tick and didn't think anything of it. He pulled the tick off of him and thought everything was fine. About 2 weeks later, he started getting real tired. One day he went to sleep, slept for 20 hours. Finally went to the doctor, and it turned out he had Lyme disease. So his name is Richard. Keep him on the prayer list. And I have praise. We got good news this week on Kathy's procedure that she had done, and the procedure was a success. They are talking about now doing the other side of the liver with the same thing.
Amen. And yeah.
Right, yeah, Roman's feeling a little rough this morning. She's real, you know, getting down a little bit, so I thought she'd heard.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you've been following the news about this latest sickness that's going through the United States. Cyclosporiasis, is that how you would pronounce it?
Yeah.
Both Carol and I got sick this week. And I thought, I can't even pronounce it, but it was an intestinal kind of a thing. I was sick for about 3 days. That's why I didn't do any visiting this week. And being a loving husband, I pass it on to my wife. And she is home today dealing with that for herself. So just remember us in your prayers.
So I guess all in the family matters, huh?
Yeah.
some things you can't fight against, some things you can't see. And a prayer with us. We have a long list. For some reason this morning, I came down the steps and fell.
Did you say you fell?
Yeah, I fell.
Wow.
Hit the door. But I'm all right. But you never know. It only takes a second to change your life. And was someone there to help?
Yeah.
But it could have been worse. I could have been by myself. Any of us could have a fall. But we need to be mindful. If we got a health condition, don't keep putting it off. No matter how simple it seems, that's what we pay insurance for. Yeah, we ignore those little squeaking valves in our cars until it's too late. Well, I'm bringing this up. Maybe it's just for me. But don't ignore health issues that could be dealt with before they become big issues. We have a lot to pray for.
Brad, I can relate to that because a friend of mine this past week, she was by herself down in Ocean City. They have a place up here. She was by herself. She fell. And she fell and she hit the back of her head. She rolled over and she died.
Mm.
And she was alone. And she was only 58 years old. Her name was Kelly Wimpegler. And so her husband's here. Her son's here. He'll be 21 in September. But it's a big loss right there. So yes, be careful what you do. And but she tripped, they said, and that's what happened to her. Yeah.
Well, I think so my brother. Know. My brother, he passed out. They think it was from high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And when he fell, his back landed on the sidewalk and messed his back up. Mm-hmm. It only took a second. It could have been, you know, it. But for some reason, God spares us. Even when we fall, to remind us he's not done with any of us yet. And we have a lot to pray for. And the list is long, but God knows each one.
Yep.
So let's just take it all to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
We thank you, Father,
thank you. That
you are a loving and compassionate and caring God. As your word says, casting all cares upon you because you care for us. Father, the many blessings you bestowed upon us through the family and friends and their loved ones, Lord, we thank you, Father. Though the prayer requests are many, Lord, you know each one, the spoken and the unspoken. Father, I lift up all these requests to you. I also lift up our president, Lord, who is our leader, that you would give his angels charge over thee to bear thee up in all thy ways. Father, for all those who come against this nation, Lord God, and when the Spirit, Lord, would just divinely intervene and keep this country safe, Lord, for the freedom, Lord, that they've died for ours, Lord, that we have freedom, Lord. Father, I just ask for your blessings upon each prayer request. For all those who are on the streets, Lord God, who have lost hope, Lord, ask that you would send people into their lives to help them not only to find hope, but a purpose for living, Lord. For all the soldiers, Lord God, who have fallen by the wayside, Lord, that our government has forsaken, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, to find their part in life, Lord God, to be productive, Lord God, that they're not forsaken by a nation, Lord, the way once fought, Lord. Lord, I just ask for a moment of peace, Lord, for those who struggling to make it, Lord God, who can't seem to find salvation or hope, Lord God, in any other person but it's in Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for your many blessings. You even touch your people today, Lord God, with your sovereign grace. That you would come with healing in your wings, Lord God, and sweep over this nation, Lord. Not just the physical healing, Lord, but this nation needs a spiritual healing in a mighty way, Lord. Mm-hmm. From our government to the least, Lord God, that you would just move on their behalf, Father. That your word says that you pour your spirit out upon all flesh. Mm-hmm. Father, I ask for your word, Lord God, to be brought back into the places, Lord, that people have sought to take it away. Like your word says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Lord, I just lift these requests to you, Lord, that you meet each need, because you are sovereign and holy, and you are loving God, Lord God, that our minds can comprehend how great your love is toward us. As to praise the Lord, and as we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And Father, I want to add to the prayers of my brother. I'm so thankful that in spite of the fall that he had, here he is standing for Jesus. And we pray that you would continue to be with him. Lord, I love the passion with which he prays and the areas that he prays over. Thank you, Father. So just watch over him and bless him, Lord, as he has blessed us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
about his statement. I will go with him all the way. And I hope that journey is all the way to heaven. At this time, Jeff Doug Bob will show us up for the Word of God.
We're continuing in our study of the book of Colossians. Where I'm going to be reading now chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete. Let me say that again. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having poured out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I love that verse. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in him. Whoa! That is some powerful Bible study. Now, I'm going to take little bits and pieces of this throughout. And first, I want to emphasize this, where Paul says, we are rooted and built up in him, in Christ. Now, still remember, this is Paul speaking. Paul is in prison, and he's writing to a new church that had just been planted in an area of the world where there weren't any Christian churches yet. And Paul is wanting to write to them to encourage them to keep walking on a straight line toward Jesus. And so in the first one that I want to look at is that we are rooted and built up in Christ. Now, one of the things that I've thought about as I was working on this sermon how many people actually listened to Jesus during his ministry? Now, we know that he fed the 5,000 and he preached to them, and we know that he fed the 4,000 and he preached to them, and we know that he did all kinds of miracles all over the place, and he traveled from village to village. I mean, we can only guess how many people Jesus impacted. It was at least 10,000, and I think it was more like 20,000 people that Jesus himself impacted. And yet, And yet, we come to the book of Ephesians. No, I'm sorry, not Ephesians. The book of, where is it? The book of Acts, where Dr. Peter is writing about the church. And that, and it was there in Jerusalem where the church came together to pray every day. And Dr. Luke tells us that the church that gathered together only had 120 people. Well, what happened to those other thousands of people? And we might ask that question today. Where have all the people gone? Long time passing. Yeah. That rather than growing and becoming abundant and becoming this move of God in the world, at least in the part of the world that we live in, we see decline. And I think there are a couple of reasons for that, a couple of logical reasons for that. The first of all has to do with what Jesus had to say to followers who followed him after the feeding of the 5,000. They followed him not because they were interested in hearing again what he had to say, but they followed him because he gave them something to eat. And I can tell you, as a pastor, I've experienced that a lot over the years, where people have come to me as the pastor of a church for help, and often it was financial help, and sometimes it was for issues that they were having. And one of the gifts that God has given me, it has been a love for those people. And never, 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 never once did I feel like, oh, they're just hitting me for some more money. I had, as a policy, anytime a new person came to me and asked for some financial help, I always responded to that. If they came a second time, then there were certain things that they needed to do before I was willing to share out of my resources with them. And Jesus, on his way back from doing this feeding of the 5,000, he noticed a huge group of people following them. And this is what he said to them: "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate the loaves of bread and were filled." And I think we all know people like that, who hang out with God, are visible with God when they have a need, and then when everything's going okay with their lives, suddenly they become invisible. We might even, you know the folks from this congregation way better than I do. Is that true of some of our own people who just, we just never quite see them? Is it because they just don't have any needs in their lives right now where they need to be a part of the church? Well, there's a second reason why there were only 120 Christians there for prayer that day after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And we find the answer to that second reason in the first parable that Jesus told. Anybody remember what was the first parable that Jesus taught? Anyone want to take a wild guess? It was the parable of the sower. And I'm surprised that you didn't know the answer to that question, because you're a bunch of farmers, a bunch of sowers, or at least you were. At least many of us grew up in families that did a lot of sowing. Now, back in these days, they didn't have the kind of equipment that we have to sow our seed. The owner of a tract of land, and it was generally about 2 acres that individual farmers had back then, and they would have a big bag of seeds, and they would go through their 2 acres and they would just throw out seeds. And I say that because it explains why now, as we go to the parable, why things unfolded the way Jesus said that they would. In Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 4, I think it is. It's verse 3. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some seed fell along stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Verse 6, he went on, but when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. However, some seed fell in good soil, and that seed produced a yield of 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And 100-fold, you know what that is. I mean, it's 100 times the amount of seed that they had planted. And I think this is the explanation why we have some of those invisible Christians, you know, that they come for help. And it's legitimate help. And I've always been willing to respond to that need for help. But then when they don't have that need, they kind of go on and move on to what is more important in their lives. And we see that in the parable of the sower, how some of the seed of the gospel that's planted is just kind of thrown along the path. And some of the seed falls among thistles and thorns, and some of the seed falls on stony ground, and the birds come and eat up the seed. But some, thank God, falls on good soil, and it produces 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And then we see the reality of this happen almost immediately, because the church, which was small, 120 people, suddenly, after Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 people came to Christ. And then a little bit later, as you read through the book of Acts, when Peter and John were arrested, and you would think, you know, people would kind of hide out and say, well, you know, if I'm going to get arrested for following Jesus, you can forget that. And yet, there were 5,000 who became Christians, and the church growth exploded because there were a few people like us who were willing to plant the seeds of the gospel in good soil so that they could bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Well, that's what I want to say about verse 7. And let's move on to verse 10. You are complete in him, in Jesus, who is the head of all principalities and powers. You are complete. And one of the things that I struggle with, that I help people struggle with, is why they feel incomplete, why they feel unloved by God, why they feel that things just haven't been working in their relationships, why they see their children not coming to church. And we have a tendency to walk around with a lot of weight on us about things that aren't the way we had hoped that they would be. And yet, Jesus said, you and I are complete just the way we are. We have everything we need in order to make an impact on our neighbors and our friends and our enemies if we're willing to use the things that we've been equipped with. There was a little guy who, in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, where I pastored a church years ago, there was a little guy by the name of Ivan. And Ivan was born without, he had very short legs. He couldn't walk at all. And so I'd see him riding up and down through the streets in the community that we lived in, on a walker, an electrified walker, so that he'd get around to places. Now, he had a Mennonite church that he went to regularly, but he and I became friends, and so every now and then, maybe once a month, he would come and worship with us at Cornerstone, the church that I had helped plant. And one day he told me his story. He said, you know, I grew up in a very conservative Mennonite church, and it was a church that believed that you couldn't know if you were saved until you died. I don't think I need to talk to them now, do you? it was the belief of his conservative Mennonite church that he was a part of that you wouldn't know whether or not you were going to make it to heaven until you died, and then you would find yourself in heaven, and you would realize that. And so, because of this condition that he had, it involved a lot of pain, enormous pain. And he said to me one day, he said, I couldn't imagine being in hell, being in a place that was more painful than the pain that I'm experiencing. And he said, I was just a mess with all of that. And then one day I went to work. He worked for one of these places that the state puts together for persons who have handicaps, and they do something where they can make a little bit of money and something that's important. And so he had a job, and he made $3 or $4 or $5 an hour back then. And one day he met another Christian who had just come to work in this same place, who also had some handicaps. And he was just always filled with joy and singing songs and everything. And he said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, I follow Jesus, and I know I'm going to spend eternity in heaven." And my friend said, "Oh, no. We won't know that until we die." And they had some fairly stimulating conversations over the next several weeks. And he finally convicted my friend that because he loved Jesus, he could look forward to spending eternity in heaven. And he couldn't wait to go home and tell his parents, "Mom and Dad, we don't have to wait. We know Jesus now. We love Jesus now." And you know what his mom and dad did? They kicked him out of the house. Because they were part of a church that didn't have that belief. And I'm delighted that I'm a part of a church that helps me to know where I'm going. And one day, I will stand face to face with Jesus and be able to tell him in person how much I love him. And I don't have an ounce, a shred of doubt about that. Why? Because the Bible told me so.
Okay, let's move on. The third verse that I want to pull out of this is verse 12, where Paul says that we are buried in Christ in baptism, in which we are also raised with him through faith. So that's what baptism is all about. That baptism is a symbol of us being buried with Christ. And then when we come up out of the baptismal water, we come up and we live with Jesus, no longer just by ourselves. Now, Paul gives a much more defined explanation of what he said, of what he wrote in this one verse. And so I want to read this from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. And so the reason baptism is so important, and I'm happy to be a part of a believer's church where we have believer's baptism. When we serve in Africa, I work together with missionaries from all sorts of walks of life and all sorts of denominations, and many of them were from churches that had infant baptism. And particularly some of my German friends would always try to get into a fight with me so that they could, because they knew the truth. We need to baptize our infants. We can't wait until they're too old to know any better and let them decide on whether or not to be baptized. And it was kind of some of the fun times that we had there. But I'm so happy to be a part of a church where we have believers' baptism. And it is up to you, and it is up to me, to get to that point where we are ready to say, yes, I will follow Jesus. Yes, I am willing to be buried with Jesus so that I might arise to new life with Jesus. I loved doing baptisms in Africa when we were there. One day, a pastor friend of mine came, knocked on my door, and said, Brother Bob, could you help me do baptisms this week? And I, of course, I immediately said, of course I will. And then when he left, I thought, why in the world does he need me? The biggest baptism I've ever done was 18 people. And somehow, all by myself and Jesus, we were able to baptize those 18 people. Well, when I got to the place where we did the baptism, there were over 100 people there waiting to be baptized. And in that culture, you couldn't get baptized until you studied what it meant to be a Christian for at least 1 year. Because that was a culture where people, you know, you and I, we even those who are pagans know more about Jesus than many people in the world, because Christianity has been the strongest religion in our culture. But in that culture, where they're exposed to animism and all kinds of other things, the leaders of the church thought, we won't baptize people until we're certain that they're ready to lay down their lives for Jesus. And so before the baptism took place of that, I think it was 103 people who showed up for baptism that day. And before we baptized any of them, we sat down with each one. And that's why it took so long, and that's why I needed my help. And asked them questions to make sure that they were walking with Jesus, that their faith
was solid. And there were some that we recommended would continue studying the ways of Jesus because they weren't quite ready to lay down their lives for Jesus. Now, I think that's a lot different than what many of us have experienced about baptism. When I was a summer pastor at a church in the middle of Pennsylvania, I found out that that church, when you got into sixth grade, you went to Sunday school baptism class. And so every child who was a sixth grader got baptized. And I was much younger back then. And I wrestled around with some of these guys. And I was pretty sure that they were not faithful followers of Jesus yet. And so I oppose allowing them to be baptized. I said, look, our church is a believer's baptism, and there are some folks here yet who don't believe. They need to come to Christ so that they can be buried with Christ, so that they can rise up with Christ. Well, I didn't win any strokes from that congregation. That they didn't kick me out, but they asked somebody else to do the baptisms. Okay, let's move on to verse 13. And you, Paul writes, and you he made alive together with him, having forgotten all the trespasses, all of your trespasses. And, you know, I confess to you this morning that I am a sinner. I am a sinner only saved by God's grace. It was never because I faithfully went to Sunday school and got the prize for attending so many times per year. My mom would have had words with me if I skipped out like Danny Krieger did. I'm saved only by grace. I've done some stupid things. And you know what? I'm sure you're going to find this hard to believe. I still do some stupid things. But we are saved by the grace of the living God. Amen. He loves us more, I think, more than we'll ever be able to get into our heads how much he loves us. And I'm so thankful that I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to, one last illustration I want to add. I was 28 years old when I became a pastor. I graduated from undergraduate school and gone to seminary. That was a three-year program, so I'd been in college for 7 years, and I was supposed to know something by then, but I became a pastor. I had no idea what I was doing. The first time I got a call from an undertaker saying, hey, so-and-so said he's part of the Church of the Brethren, and though he hasn't been a part, hasn't attended the Church of the Brethren for the past 50 years, he wanted to be buried at a Brethren church. Would you be willing to bury him? And my response was, well, you know, there are a lot of different kind of brethren. Now, there are... And I went down through the list, you know, hoping that it wasn't Church of the Brethren that he was a part of, but he was a part of the Church of the Brethren, and that was the first funeral that I did, and it was terrifying. Not many weeks later, I got a call from a woman who lived in central Pennsylvania saying that her cousin was very ill, was not expected to live, and their pastor didn't think he could make it to see this man before he died. And so they asked if I would go and be with this man. I had the same kind of thing, you know. I'm going to a complete stranger. I don't know what ails him. I don't know anything about him. And I'm supposed to minister to him in some way. And I was just terrified. And he was in Johns Hopkins Hospital. I got into the hospital, went up to his room, and what I saw was something that I'd never seen before in my life. I saw a man thrashing to and fro on the floor. His eyes were wide open, he told me later, because every time he closed his eyes, he saw demons coming to carry him off to hell. Look at, we didn't have a class on that in seminary. And I didn't know what to do. And so I said, let us pray. That was the only thing I think to do. And now, this is gospel truth. I laid my hands on this man, and I prayed for him. And as I was praying for him, this thunderbolt came, hit my head, and went all the way down through my body. We never talked about that in seminary. And not only that, but he started praising God. I see angels now. I see angels now. I couldn't understand anything that went on there. I couldn't understand why God would choose me to be in that kind of situation. But what I found out was, God is for us and never against us. And God can use us, and I'm referring to all of us. God can use all of us to do in his power what we could never attempt in our own power. And I thank God for that. And that's why I can love all of you. Because one, I know that like me, you kind of mess up sometimes. But I also know that like me, we have a very big God. And he's able to take us through all of the twists and turns of life and use us for his glory by his grace. I'm going to close with this song that I learned in the first church that I pastored. We had a Bible study that met together every Thursday evening, and we sang songs, and one of the songs was kind of a child song. I think I need to look at my notes. He paid a price he didn't owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song. Amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I and all of you could never pay. That deserves an amen. That deserves a big amen.
Amen.
That deserves a really big amen.
Amen.
Let's close with the song.
This one.
Oh, we got it. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
And let's stand as we sing together.
I'm
Son of God. Our living died and rose again. Our living paid for us all. I believe that he's here now. Standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for our soul. Standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe died and rose again. I believe you prayed for us all. And I believe you're here now.
I believe that you're here.
Send me in our midst. You with the power to heal now.
With the power to heal.
And the grace.
I love this song because it states what I absolutely believe. I believe Jesus is here now. I believe that he knows everything that you and I are struggling with. I believe he's here now. And I believe he has the power to deal with any of the issues that we're struggling with right now. Amen?
Amen.
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said,
Amen.
Don't